You know, there was the accident in Baltimore who destroyed the bridge. It was an unbelievable thing, I mean, to see it. What a tragedy. But there was another bridge that we lost this week. His name is Joe Lieberman, the senator. It was a bridge between a little bit between liberals and conservatives, between Republicans and Democrats, between Jews and non-Jews, between religious Jews and not so religious. It was a type of a bridge. See, Lieberman was born in Connecticut, in New Haven, Connecticut, to a traditional family. He was Shomer Shabbos when he was young. And he said his grandmother, I think from his mother's side, she was the main strong part of the family in the Yiddishkeit. When he went to college, he stopped to keep Shabbat. He drifted away like many other young people. When his grandmother died, that was his wake-up call. Until his grandmother died, he felt she is the backbone of the family, in the of the Yiddishkeit in the family, of Judaism in the family. Now she's gone, it's me. He knew that if he doesn't do it, nothing will happen. He was also very close to the Rebbe Lieberman. I saw him in 770 myself a few times coming to the Rebbe. He came to Verbringens, and the Rebbe spoke to him. Then before, when he was elected the first time to the Senate, to the U.S. Senate, on the way to Washington, he came to the Rebbe. He passed by. It was Sunday afternoon. He came to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I came to get your blessing before I'm going to Washington. The Rebbe told him, you get all my blessings. You don't have to waste time to come back. Do what you need to do. Do your work. And then he came with a baby. The Rebbe told him, children sometimes help just by the smile, just by being there. They help for the campaign, for everything. And every time he used to come to the Rebbe was so warm to him and so give him blessing. Because he did the right thing. He was a... Lieberman was the first Jew who was ever elected to run on the ticket of vice president with Al Gore, right?
Yeah.
And almost, he became vice president, Orthodox Jew. But when he left politics, he wrote a book. I think it's called The Gift of Time, something like this. The Gift of, basically about Shabbat. He wanted to be remembered, the first senator, Shomer Shabbos senator in the U.S. Senate. That's interesting. You know, everybody wants to leave a legacy. You know, in the end of the day, he didn't want his legacy was either first Jew was running for vice president. What he cared for, that people should remember that he was the first senator, it was a Shomer Shabbos. Now, he sacrificed a lot for it. He used to walk miles on Shabbat for an important vote in the Senate. More than that, many times he used to be stuck the Friday evening for votes and then walk back to his place, also miles. It used to be raining, snowing. He had to go. And his entourage used to go around him, and the police guys to drive next to him because they didn't let him. He said, I'll go myself. They said, no, we are responsible for you. We cannot do this. I know he was once in Hungary, but my Chabad rabbi is a friend of mine. He tells me he walked with him for 45 minutes from his house. He came to dinner in his house all the way to his hotel. He sacrificed a lot. And he says that what he saw is, in the beginning, people say, oh, why you cannot come to my party? I want to invite you to make a fundraiser for you. But later, when people saw that he's doing it because it's religion, and they saw that he's consistent, not only they were not angry with him, they respected him, they admired him even more, because he was real. They saw that he stands for it, he believes in it. His book is a song of love for Shabbat. First of all, he wants to tell young American Jewish professionals, being Jewish is not a contradiction for your career. The opposite is the truth. You'll even be more respected and more admired. Go for it. But more than that, what he says, he described the people, the experience of Shabbat. He says, when I come to synagogue, I'm not anymore Mr. Senator, Your Honor. I'm not even Joe. He says, I'm Yosef Israel, the name I'm being called up to the Torah. I'm a regular Jew sitting in shul. He says, when I hear the Torah reading, finally I'm listening, he says, not to some politician giving speeches. I'm listening to the word of God. I enjoy it. He says Shabbat is such an amazing spiritual experience. He says, for example, you know, the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, a Jew in Israel had to go to the temple, right? Pilgrimage. You had to go to the three times a year in the biblical time. It means to be inspired, you had to go to the temple. He said, on Shabbat, the inspiration comes to you. The holiness comes to you, to your own dining room, to your own living room. That's a very interesting observation. He says, you know, it's a brilliant observation. I never heard this way to put it this way. It's a very true, and it's a very true statement. Holidays is depend on the calendar, depend on the rabbis who decided when is Rosh Chodesh. It's more our thing to do. Shabbat is there. Every 7 days is Shabbat. If God created Shabbat, the first Shabbat, the holiness is built in. It's a built-in holiness more than something that you have to make it, bring it down. But then he says another interesting thing. He says, you know, our services, people, you know, Ashkenazi Jews have their services, Sephardi Jews theirs, then there is different denominations. He says, but for Avdala service, everybody is doing the same Avdala. For Kiddush, everybody is doing the same Kiddush. That there is certain things that you can bring everybody together. And he says, we take what he can get. He says, he's not speaking people to become Shomer Shabbos. Just close down the cell phone for a few hours. Unplug yourself. There is an organization in Israel, it's called Shabbos Unplug. Unplug yourself for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. You know, Miriam told me the other day, there were people a new couple came to shul. And she saw him, the woman did not know from anything. She was talking on the phone. And Mia said, then she realized what's going on in the Kiddush, in the shul. You have 150 people who sit together. There is no phones on the tables. Nobody's using a cell phone. When you have such things, every wedding, everywhere you go, people are on the phones, no matter what, no matter where.
Right.
Here is a place, a sanctuary of people who are enjoying each other's company. Nobody is having a phone. Out of respect. They have the phone in the car. I'm sure they go to the car, they go straight to the phone. But while they're here, and this is gives you some sanity, some you can talk to people, you can create friendships. Even when you go out with your family, you're sitting four people by a table, everybody's having, especially young people. I'm addicted to the phone, I don't have to go to other people. That's unbelievable. Then somebody I saw interviewed, the other day I saw interview when somebody in Israel interviewed them. This woman who did the organization, Shabbos Unplugged, she says, well, how are we going to unite the Jewish people in Israel? Then he said, you know, in the synagogues, there is in many synagogues that somebody who is the designated guy is giving candies to the kids. They should love to come to shul. He says, maybe we need somebody giving candies to adults. I mean, it doesn't mean not physical candies,
right,
but somebody to give love, to give warmth, to accept them as they are. He says, we have to learn from the Rebbe. That's what he says. He was a big fan of the Rebbe. We learn from the Rebbe in Chabad, how to include people, make them closer, and then, little by little, bring them around. In the parsha of this week, this whole week, listen, the beginning of Leviticus is about sacrifices. In this week's parsha, there is a powerful line. The fire on the altar has to be burned forever. You're not allowed to have the fire put out, even not for a second. It's a mitzvah. When they used to travel in the desert, the fire used to burn on the altar miraculously. They used to put a metal piece on top of it, not to burn the clothing on top of it, because it was a little fire always miraculously burning there. The fire on the altar has to be burned. Hmm. Now, spiritually, now we don't have a temple. Who is the temple? Me and you. We are a temple of God. Every human being, every Jew is a temple of God. What is the altar? The heart. The fire that's the heart is where the excitement comes, the love, where you enjoy what you want to enjoy life. All love and fear, all the emotions coming from the heart. On your altar, on your heart, has to be a fire. Always. What means always? Then the Talmud says the fire on the altar to be on Shabbat, even on Shabbat. On Shabbat, that you're not allowed to make a fire anywhere.
Right.
You're allowed to take the wood. Not only allowed, it's a mitzvah. You must take the wood and make a fire on Shabbat. And even when the community, when you're impure, usually when you're impure, you're not allowed to touch the altar. It's a place of pure. But to make a fire, even everybody's impure, you're allowed to go on the altar and make a fire. And the Rebbe said, what are the two concepts in a spiritual sense? Even on Shabbat. Shabbat, usually a person feels a little holier. He comes to synagogue, he's connected more to God. he learns, sometimes can happen to a Jew. He says, I'm so connected. I don't need my excitement and love of God, you know, the fire. I intellectually understand God, or people say to themselves, to me it's not going to hurt. I can see everything. It's okay. I can hear. I can read every book. I can watch every movie. God says, the fire, make sure even on Shabbat, even you're a Shabbat Jew, you're so smart, and intellectually you're connected and you're convinced, you need to make sure you have a fire. The fire has to be the love to God. You have to make sure your feelings are connected to God, not just your emotions, not just you're intellectually connected, and you're a cold person. I'm connected, I'm good. No such thing, I'm good. You have to have an active feeling to God. And even when you're impure, what does this mean? A Jew who is disconnected, he feels he's lost with God. He doesn't have any connection. God said, don't say it. There should be a fire there. You have a fire there. Like coals, they have a little bit of fire. You have to blow it until you have to fan it until you make a fire. Then the fire comes out and you have a bigger fire to God. Then from the highest Jew, from the Shabbat Jew to the impure Jew, everybody needs a fire. Now, there was, in the temple, there were two altars, the outside altar and the inside altar. The inside altar was only to offer incense. The outside altar was with the sacrifices. The mitzvah of having a fire all the time is about the outside altar. It means to say the fire has to be on the outside altar. Other people have to be able to see it. You have to be see your excitement. No, I'm excited about God. I don't see it. Too bad. I'm not showing off. Yeah. It has to be a fire that you can inspire other people around you. Be excited about Yiddishkeit. It doesn't have to be you come to Kutram the Shul, but whatever your Yiddishkeit is, and we talk about Judaism, you're excited about it. It was an unbelievable story. I had somebody here who comes here. He's not Jewish. His wife is Jewish. He has a daughter who married somebody not Jewish. The daughter had a baby boy. He tells his daughter, I want the non-Jewish father tells her, I want you to make a bris with a moyer. So no, she's a doctor, she's a very important, she wants to do it in the hospital. And the non-Jew wanted she make a bris with a moyer. His wife tells him, leave it alone. Don't fight. Don't create fights here. And he tells me, I couldn't, I needed, it bothered me so much. And he says, when his daughter saw how much it's important to him, she made a bris. A Chabad rabbi in Florida came and made a bris. A moel came and made a bris. When you have a fire and it's important to you, everybody around you feels it. And that's what it's all about. You need to have the fire outside, in public. You know, it used to be a fire. I told you in the beginning, miraculously, the fire used to burn. Then the Talmud says, even the fire is burning miraculously, you have a mitzvah to bring regular wood and to put the fire there. What does this mean? Even if in a Jew, from time to time, you have an inspiration. You say, I'm inspired on my own. It comes and goes. God said, no. I need you. You should invest in it and put effort and work on your inspiration, because inspiration that comes from God is evaporates as quick as it's coming. You know, one day you wake up, you're excited about God, you feel God is with you. Another day you didn't drink the coffee right and you're all zerkrochen and it's a gloomy day. You have to make sure that even on a gloomy day, your fire. And when you have the fire, it will never be put out, not for you, not for your children, not for your grandchildren.